Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's gospel presents a terrible situation for all unbelievers because it eliminates their excuses. Here Christ raises a young man from death in the plain sight of all. Here Christ does what no doctor, no scientist, no human being has ever done. Christ defies death. He demonstrates plainly that he is who he says he is. He is the I Am. He is the Son of the living God. When the prophets performed their miracles, when Elijah raises the widow's son, these men must call upon the name of God, because after all, the power belongs not to the prophet, but to God alone. Not so with Christ. He says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." I. This power is in Jesus himself. And when the dead boy sits up and begins to speak, it only confirms what Jesus has said to us. I and the Father are one. This is a terrible situation for the unbeliever, for the skeptic who would deny that Jesus is Lord. For here Jesus openly demonstrates in the presence of eyewitnesses that he can raise the dead by his own strength. And whoever can raise the dead with his own strength must be God and Lord. So too, the day will come when Christ's words will raise not only a young man from a town called Nain, but all who sleep in their graves. Scripture has told us God's trumpet will sound, the angel will cry out with a thunderous voice, and Christ will speak, and all will rise from their graves, and every man will stand before the living God to receive eternal judgment. Consider the power in Jesus' word. He speaks and the dead boy rises. This same powerful word of Christ will penetrate all that is in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth and in the seas. The Lord will speak, and this very ground that is underneath us right now will shake on that day and tremble. And in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, all will stand before their Creator, the living God and His Son. Then, on that day, even the most arrogant of unbelievers will flee from the face of him whom they have blasphemed. They will seek death, but they will not find it, for they have fallen into the hands of the Almighty. When Christ stops the funeral parade and says to the dead boy, "Young man, I say to you, arise," he gives us a glimpse, a flash of that power that he will release on the last day. How utterly terrifying this gospel must be to those who reject him. How utterly comforting it is to we who believe. Great comfort to you who put not your trust in riches or in princes, least of all in yourself. Consider the greatness of your Lord, that with a single touch from his hand and a single word from his mouth, even the impossible becomes possible. Even death itself can be reversed. Death, we think, has the final say. But Christ shows us plainly that he has the final say. As Luther puts it so poetically and beautifully, as we just sung, "Destroying sin, He took the crown from death's pale brow forever. It is no secret that these are hard times for the Christian church and hard times for Christians in general. But should we for one second lose heart when we have so great a Savior? Or should we think for one moment that the church's enemies will finally destroy Christ's church when he himself is so very powerful? Not at all. It's true. True enough that you may lose your wealth, you may lose your job, you may lose something else. Were they to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. For in today's gospel, we see the sure and certain truth that with a simple word, Christ can make the dead alive again. With a simple word, Christ can return the dead child alive and make the mourning parent rejoice. With a single word, Christ turns this widow's wailing and grief into laughter and joy. And that parade of death becomes a parade of life and thanksgiving for what Christ has done. Of course, this raising of the widow's son is not ultimately a story of mere earthly restoration, just as that story of Job is not ultimately a story of just simple earthly restoration. The raising of this widow's son and the story of Job show us that God is faithful and gracious and quite capable and willing to restore. How much more does he promise to restore unto us all that we might suffer, all that we might lose in this life? So be faithful unto death, he says, and I will give you the crown of life. He does not say, be comfortable unto death, or do things your way unto death, or everything is guaranteed to go smoothly unto death. He says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you life. Christ tells you plainly that he himself is your source of life. He himself will be your source of peace. He himself will be your source of comfort when all else is going wrong. He is your life, your way, your truth, and your life. If we become weak in faith or find ourselves overwhelmed by all of the death and decay and all around we see, we need to be reminded of what happened that day just outside of the gates of Nain. How our Lord Jesus touched death with his hand and overcame it with his word. We can take heart in the simple fact that we have no strength and nothing to offer God. He must do it all. Like the dead boy laid out on that bier, we have no strength and nothing to offer God, but he will do it all. Luther puts it this way: God permits man to fall so deeply into danger and anxiety until no help or advice is within reach. And still he desires that we should not doubt, but trust in him who out of an impossible thing can make something possible and make something out of nothing. If you are so deep in sin that your heart denies you all grace and the mercy of God and makes you think that there is no hope for you, then turn about and look here, how friendly and graciously God allows himself to be pictured by Christ in this gospel, that you may observe that he means it well with you from his heart, that he is not here either to condemn or excommunicate you, but but to preserve your soul forever. Luther has us look not to the faith that is in us. That would be silly. That would be to have faith in our faith. Luther has us look to Jesus, to what our Lord can do. When Jesus puts his hand on that bier and tells the boy to rise, life comes flooding into him. And when Jesus puts his hand upon your head and tells you that your sins are forgiven, forgiveness and life come flooding into you. Whether he is raising you from the dead or absolving you of your sins, the power is all in his word. In fact, he just about takes you right out of the equation, except for the fact that you're simply the passive receiver, the dead boy laid out on the bier, whom he raises with his word. And what's so strange and wonderful is at this very moment where you are all but taken out of the equation, your salvation becomes absolutely certain, doesn't it? When Jesus tells you that your sins are forgiven with his all-powerful word, are you going to contradict him? Are you going to go up against his almighty word? Are you kidding? His word raises the dead. Like it or not, you are forgiven. Absolutely pure in God's sight. Jesus can save all the sinners he wants, and no one can stop him. After all, he went to the cross, and there he purchased every single sinner, not with gold or silver, but with his own precious blood. So feel free to say to yourself, enough conscience and enough heart. God's word plainly teaches that through Adam's offense, judgment came to all men. Even so, through Jesus' righteous act, the free gift has come to all men, resulting in justification of life. That's in Romans chapter 5, verse 18. So pinch yourself and see, are you human? Then you are all men. Then Christ has died for you. This is God's word. According to him, you are justified. Are you going to try to argue? Are you going to try to quibble against the Almighty One's all-powerful word? Having taken your sin upon himself to the cross, Jesus is your Lord and he is your life. Having laid down his life in death himself, Jesus has demonstrated his own power to rise and take life back up again. His own power to make you and all the dead rise. Take it from that little boy who Jesus raised outside of Nain. Take it from the widow who got her son back that day. Take it from this crowd of stunned mourners who had no choice but to rejoice. When the Lord of life goes after something, nothing is going to stop him. And the Lord of life is going after you. So it is, when you are at your absolute weakest, he will show you his power. When you are right at the end of your rope, he will have you in his hand. When you come to your very end, the Lord says, "Finally, now I can begin." Out of Nain came a great big parade of death. A parade of sinners. One of those sinners lay dead, having received the wages of sin. Out of Nain comes a great big parade of wailing and sorrow, loneliness and death. And from the opposite direction comes Jesus, and everything changes. This morning, we too gather in our parade. We who mourn, we who are sinners, we who have lost loved ones, we who will one day go to the grave ourselves, We join together in one great big parade, and we process right up this aisle for Holy Communion. We come face to face with Jesus, and everything changes. The one who turns sinful people into forgiven people, the one who turns death to life, the one who wipes away every tear. A terrible situation for all doubters and all disbelievers, because God has just taken away all possible excuses. Now is the day of salvation. The Lord of life has come for you. In his name, amen.